From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. You might be hearing a lot about voter registration this week. California's primary is March 3rd, not in June, as it has been in recent years. And with the holidays now behind us, the primary suddenly seems soon, doesn't it? There's a little bit of confusion, though, like what to do, because this is a presidential primary, and if you've been a no-party preference voter, you need to request a certain ballot. California Secretary of State Alex Padilla is joining us to sort out some of this confusion. He's at a studio on the campus of Cal State Northridge. Secretary Padilla, welcome back to Insight.
Good morning, Beth. Happy New Year and happy election year.
That's true. Happy New Year to you, too. Let's start with how many eligible California voters already have checked this off their list. They're registered and ready to vote.
Oh, we have going into this election a record number of voters registered in the state of California, well more than 20 million, and frankly, growing by the day, growing almost by the hour. Imagine all the activity, not just on the campaign side, but folks going online to register to vote at registertovote.ca.gov, or registering to vote as they're conducting their business through the Department of Motor Vehicles and a couple of other state departments and agencies. So record number of Californians getting ready for what's going to be a very consequential election.
Can you put this in context? How does this compare, for example, to 2016?
So we're up a couple million additional registered voters compared to where we were at this point 4 years ago. And I think not just from an overall number standpoint, but from, frankly, the percentage of eligible voters on the rolls today is at its highest point than it's been since 1952. So nearly 70-year high in terms of the number of eligible Californians on the rolls and ready to participate in, again, what I said is going to be a very consequential election.
So does this say something to you about the awareness of the early primary or the motivation to vote in what you just described as a consequential election, or maybe even that the process has gotten easier? What do you think?
I think it's a combination of things. I mean, as I travel up and down the state trying to get the word out about voter registration and the importance of voting, it is palpably different than it was even 4 or 5 years ago. Everybody's paying attention. There's communities that are excited. There's communities that are scared, given the political environment we're feeling across the country. There's a range of emotions, but the bottom line is pretty much everybody is aware there's an election coming up and everybody knows how important it is. I also think it is a result of California being much more relevant in a presidential primary process than we historically have been. As you mentioned, historically, California voters go to the polls in June, by which time, more often than not, the nominees for most of the major political parties have already been determined. At this go-around and going forward, Californians have a much bigger say on who the nominees will be for the political parties. And I think that's good for California, regardless of who ends up in the White House. And I also have to emphasize, I think, a big reason for the level of registration that we see and the level of participation we anticipate seeing is a result of some intentional policy initiatives that we have championed the last few years, not just online voter registration, not just automatic voter registration, not just pre-registration for 16 and 17-year-olds, but the reforms we're putting in place to make it easier for registered voters to be able to cast their ballot, you know, through in-person early voting, more vote by mail, same-day voter registration, things of that nature. So you take all these things together, and I'm looking forward to an epic and historic civic participation year when it comes to the primary election, of course, the November election, and when time allows, we can come back and talk more about the decennial census as well.
Same-day registration, you just used that phrase. So here's a bit of maybe misunderstanding or misinformation. There's a voter registration deadline, supposedly of February 18th, and yet we do have same-day registration. So what applies in the primary and why the deadline?
I think the main context to understand here is that California leads the nation both on maintaining the security and integrity of our elections, but also in making participation as accessible as possible to anybody and everybody who's eligible. You know, we talked about the voter registration options that people have. Once upon a time, there was a voter registration cutoff. It used to be a month before the election. Why? Because counties needed time to, okay, stop adding names. We got to go to the printer, print out these voter lists that we need to distribute at every polling place on election day. Well, that turned out to be an artificial deadline given technology and, you know, policies that we can put in place now. The registration deadline was moved to 2 weeks before the election, and now we know we have a way with the proper security measures in place to allow people to register to vote up to, including on election day, or update their voter registration and still process that registration and have somebody's ballot counted. We want to do anything we can to make sure anybody who's eligible has the opportunity to have their voice heard in our democracy. So removing the artificial registration deadline is one of those strategies.
So in a way, that February 18th date becomes somewhat of a priority deadline, but the truth is you could register on primary day, March 3rd, and still cast a ballot and have it be counted, correct?
Exactly. And don't get me wrong, we want to encourage people to register to vote or to update their registration as soon as possible. But for those who may procrastinate, we know there's a couple of Californians in that category. We see it every cycle. We want to make sure that we remove any unnecessary barriers from them being able to participate in the election. So the couple of bits of advice that we're giving anybody and everybody is, number one, if you believe you're a registered voter, go to voterstatus.sos.ca.gov. It's a tool on the Secretary of State's website, and verify your registration status and your information. You see that you need to update your address, or maybe your political party preference or your vote by mail preference, then of course you go to registertovote.ca.gov. That second site is for anybody who needs to register to vote for the first time, or to quickly, easily update your voter registration. We want to make sure that your registration information is as up-to-date and accurate as possible, so we can be as prepared as we can going into the March 3rd election.
I'm talking with California Secretary of State Alex Padilla. In fact, Sacramento County just sent out a notice that it just mailed a voter registration status postcard, and every registered voter will get this in the county. That does speak to the fact that every county is handling its elections its own way. So how you vote and the kind of communication you get may vary county to county. And all those websites that you just listed, Secretary Padilla, we'll post a link to on our website as well. I think we can't get enough information out there. If 80% of eligible Californians are registered, it means that roughly 20% are not, and that could change a lot of outcomes. So how do you reach those people?
Yeah, well, we don't give up. You know, we continue to try to get the word out through traditional media, through social media, through a lot of public events and in partnership with community organizations. And frankly, we try to make it as easy and simple as possible, you know, through online registration, through automatic registration, you know, by going directly to colleges, universities, naturalization ceremonies, anywhere and everywhere we can. Thankfully, as I mentioned, a lot of people are paying attention. And we see upticks on our online voter registration site whenever there's a, you know, we're going to see it the day of the Iowa caucuses like we have in previous cycles. We're going to see it the day that New Hampshire and other earlier states go to vote. Every time there's a debate of some sort, we see an uptick in inquiries and registration. So we're going to keep moving the needle. Our job is not done till we hit 100%, both on the registration side and on the turnout side. But we're certainly in a much stronger place than we have been in the past.
Perhaps what's been most confusing is what the no party preference voters, who were also called declined a state in past elections, need to do to make sure that they vote, because a presidential primary is different. It's the party that matters this time around. So let's try to work our way through this right now. Are you surprised that this has been such an issue? There's genuine fear that a lot of ballots won't be counted or won't be cast the way voters want to cast them.
All right. So if the question is, am I surprised? The answer is no, because there was a similar, both some confusion and some misinformation that was there about 4 years ago. So the important thing, again, to remember is this: California goes out of its way to make sure that anybody who's eligible can easily register to vote and will have their voice heard in the election. Now, there are some rules that are in place for the presidential primary specifically. Right, in California, we now have this top two vote getter system that we all enjoy. We've gotten used to. For most other races, your political party preference as a voter really doesn't matter. You can vote for anybody, regardless of the candidate's political party. The top two vote getters advance to the November general election. Sounds straightforward, and it is. This presidential primary is the exception. When people are running for president of the United States, the political parties determine the rules. And so, of course, if you're a registered Republican, you can choose among the Republican candidates for president. If you're a registered Democrat, you can choose amongst the Democratic candidates for president, so on down the line. If you're a no-party preference voter, and it's not insignificant, we have a large and growing number of voters who prefer no-party preference, you do have to pay attention to the rules a little bit. Your default ballot is what we refer to as a nonpartisan ballot, because you've selected to have no-party preference. So there will not be candidates for president that appear on the ballot, but if you choose to vote for a candidate for president, you do have options to do so. There's some political parties who have opted to allow for what's known as crossover voting. The Democratic Party, the American Independent Party, for example, what you have to do as a no-party preference voter is advise the county, either in advance if you vote by mail or when you walk into the polling place on election day or the vote center if you're in one of those counties, and request either Democratic Party ballot, a Peace and Freedom ballot, or a Democratic Party ballot, American Independent ballot, or Libertarian Party ballot. Those three parties are allowing for crossover voting by no-party preference voters in their primaries. The other political parties are what we refer to as closed primaries. So if you're a no-party preference voter and you want to vote in the Republican Party for a Republican candidate, for example, then you have to re-register as a Republican to be able to receive that Republican ballot, cast that ballot. If you keep that registration going forward, or you change it back to no party preference later, that's up to you. Again, our job in California and the Secretary of State's office, in partnership with all the counties, is making it as easy as possible for any eligible voter to register and for every voter to be able to cast their ballot and to, of course, to have their vote counted and counted as cast. So no party preference voters got to pay a little bit of attention, follow these rules. As part of these efforts, counties throughout the state are sending notices, for the most part, in the form of postcards to no party preference voters saying, hey, you know, we have this presidential primary coming up. Here are the rules. Your default ballot will be this. But if you have a preference for one of these partisan crossover ballots, let us know in advance so elections officials have time to process those requests and make sure that particularly vote-by-mail voters get the specific ballot that they would prefer for this March 3rd primary.
I think an important clue to this is when you get your ballot mailed to you in advance, which most people in California do, if you see no presidential candidates on it, that's a good sign that somehow you're still in this no party preference category, and then you can reach out to your county or, as you said, go that particular day. The information takes us all a lot into the weeds, and it's less than 2 million people in the vast state of California that affects. But again, it's a group of voters that could make all the difference in a local, a county, or even a statewide race.
Exactly. And so, again, just as with everything else, you know, get informed, have a plan, prepare early, and similar to the voter registration deadline, While, of course, we want to encourage every voter to return those postcards or contact their county elections office and let their preference for what ballot they want to receive be known, if you happen to miss the deadline, if you lost those postcards, you still have options, including going into the county elections office or showing up at your polling place on election day. Through same-day registration, you can make any changes you need. But when you get that ballot, if you don't have presidential candidates listed on it, and you want to vote for a candidate for president, bring that ballot back in to the polling place. We will replace it with the ballot of your choice. That same day registration that we spoke of earlier, by the way, is no longer just available in county elections offices. That was the case a couple of years ago. Now every polling place and every vote center will offer same day registration.
All right. The vote-by-mail ballots will go out February 3rd with prepaid postage return envelopes. One last question, which I would have asked anyway, but we're in times of particular concern about cybersecurity or the unknowns, the unexpecteds. What about security with our ballots, security at polling places, and that kind of voting issue?
Right. No, great question. Very timely. You know, maybe come back and do a whole more in-depth show on this, but the bottom line voters should be aware of is California leads the nation on election security. The voting systems each and every county uses in the state of California has to be tested and certified for use first, meaning that it meets California's security standards, which exceed what the federal government advises for voting systems. Number two, California requires paper ballots. Paper ballots and a voter-verified paper trail for all voters. Number three, we prohibit counties from connecting their voting equipment to the internet. So all the voting systems that we use, anything you use to mark a ballot, to cast a ballot, to count ballots, cannot be connected to the internet, making it impossible to systematically hack or rig an election, and we require every county to conduct a post-election audit after every election. There's a lot more to it than that. We won't get into firewalls and encryption technology on this show, but rest assured, Californians, we as a state lead the nation on election security. We're constantly vigilant, constantly monitoring. You know, the events of this last week, you know, we'll treat no different. We're always on alert, and we'll protect the integrity of our most fundamental democratic institutions.
Well, thank you, Secretary Padilla. We made more time for this than we expected. I appreciate you extending this conversation, and thanks for joining us from the Cal State Northridge campus.
Thank you, Beth. Have a great day.
We have posted a link to the Secretary of State's website. There is so much election and voter information there, but you can also check with your county registrar for questions that you might have about voting where you live. Up next, I'll talk with Dr. Peter Mansour about the situation in Iran. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio.